I want to preach tonight on Bible separation. What is happening among fundamental Baptists. Now, I did not know anything about Bible separation and fundamentalism until I got saved in 1973. I grew up in a Southern Baptist church, but I wasn't saved. And I went far out into the world. When I was 23 years old, the Lord had mercy upon me and saved me. A motel room in Daytona Beach, Florida. And I began to pray about where to go to church. And I looked at many churches, and finally I found a little independent Baptist church. It was a new church. It was just getting started in a town called Bartow, Florida. A group of people had come out of the First Baptist Church of Bartow, a Southern Baptist church, because they got fed up with the things that were going on that was contrary to the Word of God. And so they decided to come out and start a church and stand for the Word of God. And that was the first thing I knew about separation. But I also knew that I was studying the Bible every day, and I knew that the Bible teaches us that we ought to separate from things that are wrong. And there's an hour tonight among fundamental Baptists where we need to learn something again and anew about separation. I travel all the time. The first time I've been in the Philippines, but I've been all over Asia, Europe, and many parts of the world. Preached in hundreds and hundreds of churches in America, and I know what is going on among fundamental Baptists. Because of our literature ministry, I get thousands of emails every month from all over the world telling me what is going on in churches. And tonight I want to begin by reminding us of what Bible separation is. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, we have an outline of Bible separation right here in this passage. In 2 Timothy 2, verses 15 through 26 is our text tonight. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor, and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. I hope you brought your Bible tonight. If you didn't bring your Bible, you don't even know if I read that properly. Now, this is an outline of Bible separation. No, we shouldn't trust preachers, my friends. We have to compare everything with the Word of God. And this is an outline of Bible separation. There are many other passages that teach us separation. But here I believe we see everything laid out for us. And we see, first of all, the foundation of separation in verse 15. What is the foundation of Bible separation? It is a strong knowledge of the Word of God. How can we separate from anything until, first of all, we know what the truth is? First, we have to know the truth. And this, my friends, is the truth. This is the truth. Before I was saved, I followed Hinduism for a while. And I believed in reincarnation, and the man that led me to Christ spent 3 days with me. And when I met him, I was going to try to proselyte him into Hinduism. And we were driving 3 days together in America, from Florida to Mexico and back to Florida. And I got into the car and I said, "Do you believe in God?" And he said, "I do." And he pulled a Bible out of his pocket. And I said, "Well, I believe in reincarnation." He said, "Oh, but the Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, and after death, the judgment." I said, "I believe that a man needs to follow his heart." He said, "Ah, but the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." I said, "I just believe that if a man is sincere and he goes the way he thinks he should go, that he'll be all right." He said, "Ah, but the Bible says there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And so I had met a true Bible believer. And for 3 days, I told him all of my foolish opinions, and he told me, "The Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says." And I said, "You know what? I think you ought to throw that Bible out the window." I said, "You don't seem to have any thoughts of your own. Why don't you just throw that Bible away and we'll just have a good conversation?" He said, "No, I can't do that. This is the Word of God." And when I got saved, I knew he was right. This is the Word of God. And if you want to know what the truth is, here it is. And the foundation of separation is to know the Word of God so that you can then know what's wrong. Well, you say amen, but do you know the Bible very well? Now, this is not a little book. It's a pretty big book. Do you know this Bible very well? If I could ask you to stand up tonight, and I said, "I want to ask you some questions out of the book of Isaiah," would you stand up? Would you feel confident to answer me some questions out of the book of Leviticus? Or perhaps the book of Nehemiah? Or could you even find it in the Bible? When my wife went to Bible college, she said the teacher, when they had their first class, the teacher said, "Now I want you to open to Hezekiah." And she said some of the students were just busy trying to find that book that doesn't exist. Maybe that's you tonight. How long have you been saved? We spend so much time watching television. We spend so much time reading magazines that are foolish. We spend so much time sitting around and talking about nothing. A life is short. This is the only book in the world that really matters. When we stand before God, this is the judge. This is it. What does God think tonight? Oh, here it is. This is what God thinks. These are His thoughts. The thoughts of God. And we cannot separate from things that are wrong until we know what's right. And we need to rededicate ourselves to studying the Word of God. I wonder about the average preacher's study habits. At one preacher's fellowship years ago, I had my books laid out there. We've written about 200 books, and one of the preachers said, "You know, we don't need any more books. We just need some more preaching." Well, I'm all for preaching, but what do you think a good book is? It's good preaching. That's a statement of ignorance is what it is. I wonder about our preacher's study habits. Usually the worst place in the world to sell good Christian books is the preacher's fellowship. I've got 25 years of experience in that. I wonder about our preacher's study habits among fundamental Baptists. One of my pastor's friends that went to Baptist Bible College in Springfield, and he said one of his teachers had the motto. He said, "You know, we are nary piece of literature Baptists. That's what we are." Well, that's a bad testimony. You know, old Charles Spurgeon knew the value of good books and knew the importance of studying. He had a preacher's college, and he said to those preachers, he said, "Sell your shirt and buy books. Sell your shirt and buy books." What does he mean? I'm not supposed to wear a shirt? No, we all have more than one shirt. What he's saying is, it's very, very important that you get some materials and learn how to study so you can get a hold of the Word of God, so that you can then teach God's people the Word of God. And the foundation of separation is the strong knowledge of the Bible. Bible Baptist. Oh, Paul knew the value of books. Apostle Paul. He was in prison under the sentence of death. And he said to Timothy, "Bring the books, Timothy." Now there's a man that loved books. Good books to help him learn the Word of God. The foundation of separation is the knowledge of the Word of God. Knowledge, a strong knowledge. Number two, the method of separation. In 2 Timothy, how are we supposed to separate? We read in verses 16 and 17 the method of separation. "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." Shun. Now, we know what that word means. That's not a hard word. Shun means stay away from it. Shun it. There's two things that we need to do for separation. And that is, we need to identify those that are teaching the wrong thing. And that's what Paul did here in verse 17. "And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus." Of whom is? So Paul not only warned Timothy about the false things, but Paul named the names of those that were teaching that. Now that's where you start getting in big trouble. If you preach in generalities, you'll never get in much trouble. And you can say, "Well, boy, we need to separate." Yeah, from who? From what? The preachers need to be plain. If we're going to warn people, we need to be plain spoken. Paul was, and he named the names of these two men. In 1st and 2nd Timothy alone, Paul named the names of 10 different false teachers and compromisers. I was in a church in Oklahoma City a couple years ago. Independent Baptist Church. The pastor said, I want to tell you about something I experienced. And he said, there's somebody that's affiliating with the Ecumenical Clergy Association. The Independent Baptist is doing that. He said, I'm not going to tell you his name. Really? Why not? Why not? Paul named the names. He wanted the people to know what he was talking about. Plainly identify those that are walking in error. And then separate from them. Verse 16, shun them. If someone is teaching things contrary to the Bible, stay away from them. And teach your people to stay away from them. Shun them. Stay away from their churches and their meetings. Stay away from their books. Preachers go astray by reading the wrong men and listening to the wrong men. Be careful about what books you get. Be careful about what men you go and listen to. They're going to influence you. Just because they come from America doesn't mean anything. And matter of fact, you better be careful about who comes from America among fundamental Baptists today. Avoid their schools. Avoid their music. One of the ways that compromise and error is coming into fundamental Baptist churches today is through music. I'm going to preach on that on Thursday night. Music is bringing false philosophies and compromise and worldliness into independent Baptist churches. And so the Word of God tells us to shun them, to stay away from them, if they're teaching things that are wrong. Well, what is the reason for separation? The reason why? This is a hard thing. Why should I stay away from somebody that names the name of Christ? Well, God tells us in verses 16 and 17, for their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. And in verse 16, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupts good manners. Don't be deceived. The Bible warns us that if I fellowship with that which is wrong, if there are men that are going away from the Word of God and I fellowship with them, they will lead me astray. That wrong association will lead me astray. And it happens so quickly. The Bible warns that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Lump of independent Baptist churches. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. The Word of God is warning us about the danger of the power of error that spread and to lead us astray. When we stand up in a pulpit like this, we don't trust ourselves. We know that without the Holy Spirit, we can't do anything. And the Bible says it's the same thing in regard to our daily lives and our fellowship. I can't think that, well, I'm okay, I know the truth, I'm okay, it's not going to hurt me. Yes, it will. God says, don't be deceived. We can look all around us and see what has happened to men that ignored the Word of God in regard to separation. There was a movement called New Evangelicalism. About the time I was born in 1949, and this movement was started by young people that grew up in the homes of fundamentalists, separatists. And they said, we don't like that kind of Christianity that our fathers had. We don't want to be separating and fighting against false teachers and preaching negative sermons all of the time. We want a more positive type Christianity. It was called New Evangelicalism. And the man that coined that term, Harold Ockingay, died recently. And they said, we want a positive Christianity. We don't like separation. One of the men that founded that movement, Harold Lindzel, later wrote a book. It's called The Bible in the Balance. And he said that within 10 years after they rejected separation, 10 years, they were assaulted from within by increasing skepticism in regard to the Bible's infallibility. Do you hear me tonight? Within 10 years of saying we don't like separation anymore, we want a more positive Christianity. We want some positive preachers that will tickle our ears. There were men spread throughout that movement that did not even believe that the Bible is an infallible Word of God. 10 years, my friends. And tonight, as Fundamental Baptists, we stand right there. Do you know one Fundamental Baptist that does not believe that this is the absolute infallible Word of God? Do you? No, I don't. But in 10 years, if we're not careful, there's going to be men in our movement that don't even believe this is the Word of God. That's why I'm on sort of a crusade these days. I look in the future, friends. I don't walk around with my head down like this. I'm looking out ahead. Fundamental Baptists need to look ahead and see where we're going and the decisions we make. Where are they going to lead? And God's Word tells us, man, what a light in a dark world. We are not in darkness. Jack Van Impe used to preach in Fundamental Baptist conferences like this. Preach hard. I heard him when I was at Tennessee Temple Bible College in the 1970s. And he was a fundamentalist. And he decided in 1984 that he was never going to separate anymore. And he wrote the book, Heart Disease in the Body of Christ. And this is what he said. God comes into the heart of Catholics and Lutherans and Baptists and Pentecostals. And with God in us, we can fellowship with one another. The Catholics are in the body of Christ and everybody's in the body of Christ. And we all fellowship together. What happened to him? He said, I don't believe in separation. They started praising the Pope. I heard the Pope speak in March when I was in Rome. And Jack Van Impe, the old fundamentalist, he said, the Pope's the man of God. I don't have to tell you that that's not true. And James Robertson, he was a Southern Baptist evangelist when I got saved in 1973. I used to like to hear him preach. And he would preach against sin, and he'd preach against worldliness, and he preached against liberalism. He was a preacher. He was very unpopular in the Southern Baptist Convention because of his hard preaching. But something happened to James Robertson. And about 1980, And he said, I don't believe in separation and hard preaching anymore. And he wrote the book, Thank God I'm Free. In 1987, I went to hear him at the big ecumenical charismatic crusade in New Orleans. I had press credentials. And I was reporting on it with our magazine, Old Timothy. And so I went to hear James Robinson speak because I wanted to hear him now that he was the new James Robinson. And almost the first thing that he said were these words right here. I took them down as he spoke to me. "I tell you what," James Robinson said, "one of the finest moral representatives of morality in this world today is the Pope." And he said, "People who really believe it, who really know it, believe he's a born-again man." I hope you're not that blind tonight to think that the Pope is a born-again man when he worships and prays to Mary. The Pope could be born again. Jesus died for the Pope to make it possible for him to be saved. But if he got saved, he wouldn't be the Pope anymore. He'd say, "Stop kissing my ring, I'm nothing. Stop bowing down to my feet, I'm nothing." And he'd say, "Let me take off these silly clothes." And he wouldn't be the Pope anymore. Now, what is it that causes a man to become that blind that quick? Rejection of separation. Contemporary Christian music. My friend that died just about 3 years ago now, 2 years ago now, Gordon Sears, evangelist, music man. He had the Sears family. He traveled with his family and they would sing. Man of God. Believed in old-fashioned, godly, sacred music. We shouldn't have music that sounds like a nightclub. Music ought to be sacred. That means different than anything they would ever hear in a nightclub. Man, we're not in a nightclub. And this is what Gordon Sears said after watching Independent Baptist for years. "When the standard of music is lowered, then the standard of dress is lowered. And when the standard of dress is lowered, then the standard of the conduct is lowered. And when the standard of conduct is lowered, then the sense of value in God's truth is lowered." And he's describing this slide. And he said it begins with music. Frank Garlock preaches on music a lot and travels. And he said the same thing. He said, if a church starts using contemporary music, it will eventually lose all other standards. Did you hear me? I hope so. Because, my friends, Independent Baptists are starting to use the contemporary music. Say, "It won't bother me." Yes, it will. It will. And so why should we separate from things that are wrong? Because they will hurt us. They will weaken us spiritually. They will injure us. They will hurt us. Separation is a good thing. If you're a gardener, you can't say, "Well, I'm going to plant those flowers, those beans or whatever. I'm not going to worry about weeds, though. I'm not going to worry about bugs. I'm just going to be a positive gardener." What kind of crop would you get? And if you're a shepherd, you can't say, "Well, I love the sheep, but I love wolves too." No, you got to hate wolves if you're going to love sheep. There's some separation to do. There's some negative things to do. It's not all positive. The ministry. But what is the basis of separation? Who are we supposed to separate from? And I believe we see something about that in verse 18. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 18. What is the basis of separation? From whom should we separate? And on what basis? What doctrine? What doctrine's important? Well, that's a good question. 2 Timothy 2:18, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already. Now, Paul was calling these men false teachers. He said they're dangerous. Timothy, beware of them. Now, today in Christianity and even some parts of Independent Baptist movement, there's the idea that only a few things are important enough to separate over. And maybe they say, well, the five fundamentals, like salvation by grace and the deity of Christ, and we'll separate over that, but nothing else. Promise Keepers was an ecumenical movement that came along in the 1990s in America. And Promise Keepers was the first ecumenical movement that a lot of fundamental Baptists started getting involved with and joining hands with Roman Catholics. And if you go to a Promise Keepers meeting and teach, there's a lot of things that you can't preach about because they have the ecumenical philosophy of unity in diversity. And therefore, when you preach, this is right out of their book, some of the issues that cannot be addressed. Eternal security. Why? Because there's people there that don't believe eternal security, so you can't preach that. The gifts of the Spirit, you can't preach about that. Baptism, you can't preach about baptism. Because there's people there that baptize babies and whatnot. You can't preach on prophecy. You can't preach on the ordinances, the sacraments, so-called. Now, that's the ecumenical philosophy that there's only a few doctrines that are really important. Well, what kind of doctrine was Paul talking about here? Resurrection? What is that? That's prophecy. Resurrection is a doctrine of prophecy. In the future. It's a doctrine pertaining to the future. And so Paul had a different idea of separation than the ecumenical movement today does. Look with me at 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6 verses 3 through 5. Let's try to get an idea from the Bible as to what is the basis of separation and how narrow should we be about doctrine. How narrow should we be? In 1 Timothy 6, verses 3 through 5, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrine which is according to godliness. Now, what kind of false teacher is he describing there? He's describing one that denies the doctrine of godliness. And there's many today that fall into that category. And they say, it doesn't matter how the Christian lives. It doesn't matter. You can listen to rock and roll. You can wear a little shorts. It doesn't matter. Wear your little bikini down to the beach. It's okay. You're free. Don't you believe in grace? That's a common teaching today. If we went to churches around this area, a lot of them would have that teaching. And they say, a bunch of legalists down there at that church over there, always preaching against how you're supposed to live. We live in grace. Well, that's not the grace of the Bible. The grace of the Bible teaches us how to live holy. And that's not legalism. Legalism is saying that you're saved by works. That's legalism. And so we're supposed to separate from those that deny the doctrine of godliness. Look at verse 5. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing to gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. This is a passage on separation. And that covers a whole lot of Christianity out there tonight that deny the doctrine of godliness, godly Christian living. But we're supposed to separate from them according to the Word of God. I'm saying that the basis of separation is very narrow. Very narrow according to the Bible. How strict should we be in about doctrine? Well, look at 1 Timothy 1, verse 3. 1 Timothy 1, verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I came into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Now that was what Paul instructed Timothy in regard to doctrine. Now you can't get any stricter than that. He wasn't to allow any other doctrine. No other than the Word of God. Now if you try to be that strict, you will never be in a big crowd. Not for long at least. I'll probably prove that on this trip. You'll never be in a big crowd. But that's all right. Jesus didn't have a very big crowd when He was here. That's all right, as long as I'm in the truth. It's never been very popular. It wasn't popular in Noah's day. He didn't have a big crowd. It wasn't popular in Jeremiah's day. He sure didn't have a big crowd. And my friends, don't be deceived. It's not popular in our day either. And don't go thinking you're going to be in the majority somehow in Christianity. No, you're going to be in the extreme minority because you take the Bible seriously. All of it. All of it. All of it. Look with me at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 13 and 14. 1 Timothy 6, verses 13 and 14. Now here again is Paul instructed Timothy. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Now look at this verse real carefully with me. Verse 14. 1 Timothy 6, verse 14. That thou keep this commandment without spot. Without spot. Without spot. Now, my friends, that is the details of the Bible and how God is instructing the to care about everything in the Bible. Everything. Care about it. Fight for it. Stand for it. Preach it. Teach it. Care about it. Keep it without spot. That is a little thing. Spots are little things. Just a little thing. It's the details of the Bible. We should be people that tremble before the Word of God. Every word came from God. That's the basis of separation. Look with me at 1 Timothy chapter, Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. In 1 Corinthians 1. Verse 10, this is talking about unity. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same things, and that there be no divisions among you, and that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. I don't know about you, but we're in a warfare tonight. And the basis of unity is the whole Word of God. Not everything in here is as important as other things. The doctrine of salvation through grace is more important than 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Which teaches us about men and women and order in this world and even about how long our hair is. I just got a haircut a while ago. You know why I got a haircut a while ago? Because of 1 Corinthians 11. When I got saved, My hair was longer than many of you women's are tonight. Way down past my shoulders. And the only reason I got my hair cut was 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It's not as important as salvation by grace, but it's important. Who are we to say that something in the Bible is not very important? Who are we to say that? And to act like that and live like that? Well, that's not one of the big doctrines. How do you know? Why did God put it in the Word of God if it's not important? And my friends, if you have that kind of attitude toward the Bible, that it's all important, you'll be right and you'll stay right. The basis of separation is the whole Word of God. Sometimes it's attacked at one point, and sometimes it's attacked at another point, and sometimes it's attacked at another point. It's all important. The Bible says we're to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. Fight for it. What part of the faith? All of it. And so we see the basis of separation. And we see in verse 20 the initiative of separation. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, the initiative. In verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Purge himself. I'm supposed to take the initiative in separation from things that are wrong. I shouldn't wait until my fellowship decides that it's wrong. That's a personal decision. Each man stands before God and has to give account to God. And if you're a preacher, you'll give account not only for you and your family, but for your church. And that's serious business. And so I have to study the Bible for myself. And I have to examine things for myself. And I have to decide when it's time to leave, to separate from things. I've got to take the initiative. Man, don't follow men. Don't follow the crowd. Stand up on your own feet and make decisions before God based on the Bible. We like to get all lumped together into associations. It seems like it's more comfortable there. But that association is not going to stand before God. I don't even know if you've got one. But if you do, it's not going to stand there with you before God. You're going to stand there. So you've got to stand on your own feet. And when you see things that are wrong, not make excuses for them, but separate yourself from it. I've got to take the initiative. And then finally, the attitude of separation. In verses 24 through 26, the attitude of separation. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. And there's the attitude. Meekness. Patience. Loving those even that we have to separate from. Man, I can tell you from my heart tonight before the Lord, I don't hate anybody in Christianity. I don't even hate the old Pope. I wish he'd get saved. And I certainly don't hate Billy Graham. I warn about him all the time. But I don't hate him at all. My heart has sympathy for him, although I'm very discouraged by what he's done to Christianity and his compromise and how what it's done to break down things. But I don't hate him. And I don't hate Jerry Falwell. And he's doing a lot of things to hurt independent Baptists, but I don't hate him. None at all. He's done a lot of good for the Lord. Even Billy Graham has. My wife got saved because of Billy Graham's ministry. But I'm not going to stop warning about him. And I'm not going to go over there and preach with him because the Bible forbids me to do it, but I love him. And recant of his ecumenism. But that's the attitude of separation. It has nothing to do with hating anybody. It has nothing to do with fighting in the flesh. There's so much fighting among independent Baptists in the flesh. Personality conflicts. And carnality. But separation is not about any of that. It's about love for the truth. Period. And if I'm separating on any other basis, I'm wrong. And it won't be acceptable to the Lord. Years ago, an old evangelist, Mel Rudder, as I was walking away from a day that I spent with him, he said, "Brother Cloud," this was 25 years ago, he said, "Brother Cloud, you're a young preacher, and I have some advice for you." He said, "I would urge you to be as firm as a rock in your position for the truth. Don't budge an inch. Rock. But be as sweet as the honey from the rock in your disposition as you fight for the truth." Now, I can't tell you that I've done that. I'm a man. And sometimes I fight and I just flat like fighting, that's all. But not usually. I'm not by nature a fighter. But there's something that's important going on in this world, and it's the truth. The battle for the truth. The battle for the truth. And I became an independent Baptist because of the truth. I wasn't looking for a church that had a good music program. I wasn't looking for a church that had pretty girls, even though I wasn't married at the time. I wasn't looking for a church that had a nursery or some kind of nice program for the young people. I didn't have any young people. I was only looking for one thing. I can testify before God tonight. I was looking for a church that had the truth. That's what this world needs. And that's what I'm looking for tonight, 30 years later. And if independent Baptists leave the truth, I'm leaving independent Baptists. That's my testimony, my friend. You say, "Well, I don't think they are." Well, let me give you some things tonight. Because fundamental Baptists are leaving the truth in droves. There's an organization, one of the big parts of fundamental Baptists tonight is the Baptist Bible Fellowship. It's a big part of the independent Baptist movement. I've never personally been a part from it, but I've had many, many BBF pastor friends. And I've preached at their meetings. And they are leaving the truth tonight in that movement. They're turning their backs to the truth that we once held. One of their leaders and men is Jerry Falwell. He is still today an independent Baptist, my friends. And he also is a Southern Baptist. Today you can be both. When I got saved 30 years ago, you had to make a choice. And you still do, by the way. If you care about the truth, you've got some choices to make. And so he's a Southern Baptist, and he's also a BBF leader. He speaks every year at their meetings. He also has Billy Graham in to speak at his campus at Liberty University. Twice now. Billy Graham's grandsons are in his school at Liberty University. He promotes Christian rock music, the hardest Christian rock music there is. Like DC Talk. And if I could play just a little bit of that music tonight for you, you'd be shocked. Maybe some of you. It's Christian rock music. Maybe those of you who are laughing wouldn't be shocked. It's the same kind of music that God convicted me about after I got saved that I had to turn away from and put out of my life because it's evil. It's worldly. The biggest concert they ever had at Liberty University, Jerry Falwell School, was DC Talk rock concert. It praises the charismatics. It praises charismatics like Benny Hinn, who has led multitudes of people astray with his false teaching and his charismatic confusion, encouraging people to flop around on the floor. Now, I've got some news for you tonight. Falling on the floor is not a miracle. I had to teach my kids how to walk. They knew how to fall down. Charismatic confusion, and yet this independent Baptist pastor promoting it and bringing him into the campus and pushing the Christian rock music and pushing the ecumenical movement and praising Billy Graham and bringing him in to speak to the students, that is an independent Baptist pastor I'm talking about tonight. I didn't grow up in the BBF. I grew up in the Southwide Baptist Fellowship part of Independent Baptist. That's another big part of Independent Baptist today. And I went to Tennessee Temple and was there when the Lee Robertson was there. And just about any big name preacher you can mention today, an Independent Baptist like Jack Howes and whatnot, would come there and preach in those days. And so that's what I grew up around as a young Christian. And yet the Southwide Baptist Fellowship this year, almost every one of the speakers, the pastors, are coming from churches that bring the Christian rock into their music, the drums and the pounding bass guitar. I'm talking about Christian rock. Speaking at Southwide this year. Email recently of a man that visited that church by one of the Southwide Baptist Fellowship speakers. And he said, I had to walk out before the song service was half started because of the worldly environment. Couldn't stand it. The rock music and the jiving around. The worldly attitude. And that's the Southwide Baptist Fellowship. John R. Rice was one of the men that would speak in those days at Tennessee Temple and the editor of Sword of the Lord and big name in Independent Baptist, at least some parts of it. And his daughters went on to marry preachers. And some of them have a magazine called The Joyful Woman. Joyful Woman magazine. Maybe you've heard of it, maybe you haven't. It doesn't matter. I'm trying to give you some information about what's happening tonight and where we're going. In one issue, they had on the front cover 2 years ago a woman, very well-known woman speaker named Elizabeth Elliot. Elizabeth Elliot. Her husband died and was martyred by the Alpha Indians. Very famous, well-known speaker. And there she was on the front of the cover of this Independent Baptist Woman's magazine. You say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, first of all, she's an Episcopalian. She doesn't believe what we believe. And she's a radical ecumenist. Her brother, she comes from a very famous family in Christianity. And her brother is named Thomas Howard. And he was a professor. Very well-known school. And he became a Roman Catholic a few years ago. And Elizabeth Elliot said, that's all right. Catholics are Christians too. Does it matter? See, they are saying that separation is really not important anymore. This is a nice personality. We like this woman, and that's all that matters. No, that's not all that matters.
That's not all that matters. I like him. He's my buddy. That's all that matters. No, that's not all that matters. Truth matters more than that. Now, I'm glad you said amen at that. Because there are crowds of independent Baptists that I could stand before tonight that would not. I preached at the BBF meeting in Kansas City, the state meeting, just 3 years ago. And I preached a simple sermon on the difference between an independent Baptist preacher and a Southern Baptist preacher. And I hope you know the difference. And the host pastor said, I've never seen so many preachers so angry about a message. My independent Baptist brethren. Well, I'm not going to be quiet. And if you think about coming up to me afterwards and telling me to tone it down, I won't do it. Because truth matters. And I've been an independent Baptist a long time, and I don't want to see us go away from the truth. There's an association of independent Baptists today called the Free Preachers Association. Free preachers. Well, that sounds pretty good. But free from what? Well, they say we're free to use any music we want, free to dress like we want, free to use any Bible we want, free to associate with whoever we want. Okay. The Bible doesn't allow some of that. I'm not quite that free. If I don't want to care about the Bible, I'm just as free as I please until I get before Jesus. But I've got some limitations to my freedom here. I accepted that when I got saved. I'm not man's servant, but I'm Christ's servant. And there's a big bunch of limitations here on my freedom, which is all right. Because if I'm doing something contrary to this, it'll hurt me. It's wrong. It doesn't please God. Free Preachers Association, Independent Baptist. Shame on them. Shame on them. They're not what I joined 30 years ago. No, sir. But I haven't changed. They changed. Independent Baptists used to preach what I'm preaching tonight everywhere. All the time. It was not unusual. Get up there and preach against things and give some warnings. But it's unusual today. I know it is. People tell me when I travel, brother, I haven't heard that kind of thing in a long time. Well, you need to. You need to hear some warnings. So that's what's happening today. I'm just giving you a little hint of what's happening. Man, I was first started finding out what was happening among independent Baptists when I came back to America in 1989 from our missionary work in Nepal. And Promise Keepers started coming on the scene. Well, like a good warner that I am, I started warning about it. Because the Roman Catholics are there. People say, well, don't you believe the Roman Catholics should come and hear the gospel? Sure. But I don't believe they ought to come and speak to us. Don't you see the difference? But the vice president of Promise Keepers was a Roman Catholic. So I started warning about it. And I started getting hate mail from independent Baptist pastors. That's when I knew, brother, something's changed here. Something's changed. And so I'm giving you a warning tonight. You might not know any of this. But I'm trying to give you a heads up about some things that are happening. And if it's not in the Philippines yet, and I can't believe that it's not, it will be real soon. Widespread compromise among independent Baptists. Compromise of the truth. I tell you what, that breaks my heart. It really does. Before the service tonight, I was thanking the Lord that I could stand in a place like this and preach, and very few people would hate me. Most of you in your heart would say he's right. But we're coming to a time quickly where that attitude's not going to be there toward the truth among fundamental Baptists. And they're going to say, Brother Cloud, don't preach like that. Don't you know, judge not that you be not judged. Hey, don't use that verse on me. Don't take that thing out of context and tell me I can't judge doctrine. Jesus is saying, don't be a hypocrite. And yet fundamental Baptists are starting to use that verse to shut the mouths of preachers that are trying to warn God's people of things that's going to destroy us. That's what's happened tonight, my friend. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the truth. Lord, I thank You for a light in a dark world. I thank You for preachers that still desire to stand. And I pray that that will continue to be true. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.